ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba.
Slappy. Sorry, it was a slappy little segue there. I was ill prepared.
So you were referring to
going from one,
the transference of the traditional
transition.
WGN. Yeah. Of Kim Gordon doing the news and all to our bonus hour.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared. Do you want to do it again?
No.
You sure? We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
I don't want it rebuilt.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. As Wendy pointed out, it is Sloppy Tuesday. Bill, that's Wendy.
You pointed it out. I just said sloppy. I didn't say Tuesday. But thank you for that.
But now many people rely. That is their only way of knowing what day of the week it is.
Then they're in trouble.
In the old days, you'd have a watch. You could look on your watch to see what day of the week it was.
Do you have a Gregorian calendar? Because I can do it on the Gregorian calendar.
Tuesday.
That sounds menacing. Now I'm
was
afraid.
That a chant?
I'm scared for my life now. I'm very afraid. You know, we just got to meet a guy whose name I've heard 1,000 times, Gary
Colabono.
Colabono, who ran a very, very successful chain of comic book shops in the city and in the suburbs, and he showed us these incredibly rare pieces of artwork from the early days of comics from the 1930s that are worth.
I can't even guess. Listen.
You know, that was a question that we should have asked. But
I didn't want to ask it because you can go to his place in Mount Prospect tomorrow from 5 to 8 at 115 West Central Road, Comics Revolution.
Yeah.
And he's going to let you take a picture and hold it and touch it. And I almost didn't want to ask because what if somebody runs out the door?
That's the exact point I was going to make is he said how cool it was. He goes, you know, I own these rare pieces of art. And for me, it means a lot to be able to show them off. They're usually in a bank vault. And I don't say that. I mean it literally. They are in a bank vault. They're that valuable. He doesn't even get to look at them every day. Years ago, when I was working at WLS, we had on one of the guys from Antique Roadshow. So before he came on the air with us, he said to everybody on the show, you know, in an email, "Hey, bring in something you own that's valuable, and I'll appraise it."
You brought your wife?
Yeah, I brought Terry in.
I hope you got a return on investment.
I tell you, the market value at the time, Wendy, was not what I thought it was. Now, of course, it's sky high. But back then, I brought in the 1960s, the Ideal Toy Company made a series of action figures called Captain Action. And I have all but two of them mint in the box. And I brought in Superman. And that whole day, it was like balancing a baby on a cue stick. I was so tentative in everything I did that day. I drove so safely. I put a seatbelt on the box next to me. It was in the passenger seat. I put a seatbelt with a harness thing on that. And then I walked so carefully from the parking garage to the studio. And then in the studio, I would, you know, like a lot of times during a show, you'll go out in the hall to get a cup of water or say hello to somebody. I didn't let this thing out of my sight for a second. For fear that Rokan would steal it.
And he would have.
He would have in a minute. But I can't imagine. And that's worth a bit. But what he was carrying, those pieces of art, those early magazine covers, who knows the countless thousands of dollars those were worth.
I know you can get, I don't know if you're familiar with Wayfair. It's a really nice little place to buy home goods and stuff. For $49.99, you can get an Action Comics number one issue poster from the very first one, which you've seen before, haven't you?
Superman holding up the car? Yeah, it's famous.
But this was just, I don't even know who were those people on the cover.
Those were characters that have not stood the test of time.
So they never had their own comic? It was just,
they may have for a little while in the 30s or
40s. A pretend 40s. Comic book,
one
as
was
he
like
said.
A sea captain who was stranded on an island. And he was there were natives on the island looking like they might attack this man as he watched his ship go off into the sea. So there was that guy. I'm trying to remember the other guy was.
Thank you, land lover, by the way.
I don't know who he was. I don't know who he was.
It was, but I didn't want to ask. I mean, I thought about it, and then it was probably bad interviewing skills, but I didn't want to know.
No, a key question is how much of these must be worth a fortune? How much are these worth? But you're right. I was of the same mindset of, what if I ruin these?
I know.
He put them right. He goes, no, hold them.
You are so adorable, though, because you're like, Gary, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. And he was just such a mellow dude.
But as he said, he goes, hold them. You know the feeling you get when you're visiting a friend or a relative and they've just had a baby recently and they go, oh, hold the baby. And then the whole time you're holding the baby, you're enjoying it. But you go, if something awful happens, it's on me. I can't just hold somebody else's baby. What if I drop the baby?
But it's nothing like that, first
Although,
of all.
Did you have anyone in your family? I had an uncle who, whenever he was given a baby, he would do the thing that I don't see people do anymore, where they would loft the baby up in the air and then catch the baby and throw it back up in the air and catch the baby again. My uncle always did that.
If he was around today, people would not allow that
to
happen.
People would come out of the woodwork. Don't be throwing a baby up into the sky.
You could get CTE from that. Seriously,
yeah.
I'm not even being funny. People used to...
Is that a lung service provider? What is CTE?
The brain problems from having football.
Yeah.
Because seriously, think about that little tiny brain and that soft head.
My uncle, you mean? Is that who you're calling? Is that who you're referring to?
It's a slam.
Because you're not far off.
Obviously.
Just the mere idea of, well, I have a baby, I should throw it up in the air now. Like, would that even, how would that occur to you?
Everybody did it.
What else could I do to a baby? I could throw it way up high in the air and hopefully catch it.
But everybody did it. And in fact, I have been watching Access TV nonstop since we had Eddie Money on.
Oh.
I've only watched half of his show because I got depressed in the middle of it because it's very tumultuous. All his older kids, you know, trying to be in a band with him and they have drinking problems and the mom looks like, you know, she's really having issues with the drinking. I feel sorry for Eddie Money.
Yeah.
But they have concert footage all over the place on this Access TV. They had some Pink Floyd. We watched this Doors special that was really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Bob Marley, this little Bob Marley interview show. And Bob Marley is in Jamaica throwing one of his kids up, like, unbelievably high with waterfalls and water all over and rocks, throwing the kid up as high as you can imagine. And he was probably really stoned.
I would imagine.
And caught the baby every time. And I don't know which baby it was. I'm not sure if it was Ziggy or not.
Sounds like Ziggy.
Oh, my God. But that's, I mean, these were really old tapes.
All right. You know how I know you don't believe this, but my memory is such that I remember things from when I was a year and a half and two. I remember it vividly. And I remember my uncle throwing me up in the air.
You are so not... There's no way.
Was that what you were doing? I still say we. If something elicits a we from me, I'm not afraid. The day my brother was born, I was 2 years old. I can tell you everything that happened all day long. Everything. Like
when did
it was
you start
yesterday.
Hating him? Because you didn't want to share your toys.
The day we brought him home. I said to my parents, let's leave him at the hospital. He seems so happy. No, we got to bring him home. All right. But I remember my uncle throwing me up in the air, and it seemed like an eternity. It seemed like I was up there for a long, long time.
This is more fun than Kittyland.
And half the price. We had a season pass to my uncle's Kittyland. You couldn't afford
There's no way you remember that.
Oh, I do.
No.
I remember being in the crib, like so many different nights in the crib. I remember one night, I remember this so vividly. It was raining really, really hard. I wasn't even 2 years old yet. I was a year and a half, 2 years old. And I was crying because I was afraid of the rain and the thunder and the lightning. And then I remember my mom coming and getting me and putting me in bed with her and my dad and putting her arm around me. And the only thought is, well, this is better than the rain, but her arm is so heavy, you know, because she was holding me.
You ungracious, ingracious.
Both.
You weren't very nice.
I was both. I was.
Shame on you.
I was an ungracious ingrate is what I was. But I mean, I know people go, you can't have memories from that far back. I do. I remember so much of when I was that age.
There is one person other than you that says this, and I don't believe him either. My brother-in-law, Bill McInerney.
Yeah.
Shag.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Shag McInerney. He says that, too. He can talk about being in the crib, and I don't even know some of his stories. Like, the dog came in, and I saw the dog's nose through the crib, and he was, you know, 1 year's of age. One year of age. I don't believe either of you.
All right. For years and years and years, I used to tell my mom about this party we attended when I was a kid. And I would tell her little vivid details about the party. I'd say there was a guy who was coloring with me, And I had to tell him what color everything was because he was colorblind. And I said, and I was sitting at the top of their staircase and somebody came and picked me up and moved me and said, this isn't a very safe place for you to be sitting, and moved me over and stuff like that. I remember
that
all these little details.
Very astute person.
And my mom would always go, because I'd always say, my dad wasn't there. It was you and me, and my brother hadn't been born yet. And my mom would always go, you have to be imagining this. Why would your dad have not gone to this party, whatever it was? And then one day, out of the blue, she remembered what it was. One of her, was it a cousin? It must have been a cousin. Yeah, it was a cousin of hers, came back from Vietnam. Was it Vietnam, or where would it have been? I think it must have been Vietnam, right?
No.
This was 1964, no. So it must have predated. Was that Vietnam already or not?
No, that was
Korea?
Where would that have been? It was probably Korea.
Yeah, it must have been. It was before Vietnam. It was after, yeah. Korea came right before Vietnam.
How
right?
come you don't years. Remember which war it was?
I was a year. I was only a year old. But like one day my mom all of a sudden goes, oh, when my cousin came back from the war, they did have a party and your dad couldn't go because he had to work and I brought you. And like all of a sudden she goes, but you weren't even 2 years old yet. And I go, no, it's like a year and a half, right? And she goes, yeah.
So would you have been sitting up?
I was able to walk. Because
of course you were, and then you
and I drove a car,
right? And you recited a soliloquy.
I did one sonnet from Shakespeare. Is that a soliloquy? I don't think it is. Now you're being mean. You're jealous of my memory.
I'm jealous of all your accomplishments, your milestones.
Well, you know,
at like 1 month of age, what could you do?
I was published by then. I had written a book about my first month and how surprised I was at things that I encountered in that first month. And the first two publishers are like, this is a good first outing, because I was only a month old. But thanks to Simon and Schuster, those guys published it like that.
Simon and Baby Schuster.
Simon and Baby Schuster. But it is, I mean, it's more than possible. I remember tons and tons of stuff from that age. Don't ask me what I had for lunch yesterday. I don't know.
I can't remember anything.
Nothing from that age?
No,
nothing?
I can't remember anything from anything. I went to visit my girlfriend Jan's parents yesterday. They were in a car accident, and I was talking to them. I've known Jan since sixth grade, and her mother Joyce was talking about when we first met each other, Jan and I. We were in sixth grade, yeah. And Spachman and Snyder, we were right, our lockers were always next to each other. And there was some story she was saying about a little bit of an anxiety issue for both of us when we started school, and I said, I never had any problem with going to school, and I don't remember any of that stuff. My mom worked at the school, so Mrs. Spachman was saying, you know, I remember, you know, Jan had she was a little nervous about going to school 3 days in a row, so I came in to talk to the secretary, and she was really nice, and lo and behold, it was your mom, and she said, my daughter's having the same issues. You know
you don't
me.
Remember that.
I don't get nervous in front of people or anything. That one surprised me.
But there are memories that you've blocked, because there's stuff, like, you remember very little, even though your dad died when
I
you
was
were 10. But you always say, I have very few memories, which is I don't know why you wouldn't have more memories. Because 10, even though that's young to lose a dad,
I don't remember.
That's still a bunch of time with them.
But see, now they say, and we could talk to John Duffy about this, he's in tomorrow or at some point during the year, when something tragic happens to a kid, whether it be losing a parent through divorce or death,
you put up a blocker.
Your brain kind of protects you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. There are a few things, like I kind of remember my dad teaching me how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very good. And there was another thing that now I don't know if I fully remember it. I was a baby and I was playing on the sidewalk and my neighbor was driving down the sidewalk on his bike. And I don't know if you remember handbrakes.
Sure.
Before they were connected, there were just these little, like he hadn't made the connection. There wasn't a cable to make the brakes work. He was working on his own bike and he just had like the things you grab, but there were no brakes on this bike at this point.
The grip was in place, but when you gripped it, it just
there were
didn't
no
stop
wires
anything.
Connected okay. to stop it. He was kind of working on sure. it and he was driving down the sidewalk and I was playing on the sidewalk and evidently, I've been told that Ronnie ran me over and the gear went right through my lip from the inside out. So,
like a bass.
Yeah, I was hooked.
Wow. I'm surprised he didn't have you mounted and put over his fireplace. What a novelty that would be. What is that? It's like you have a girl up hanging on your fire. What is that?
I don't.
I caught her a few weeks ago.
I don't know. And my sister has told me the story. And if Betsy, if you're listening, feel free to call in. Betsy said they cleaned it by putting like a Q-tip through the my actual upper lip area. Your what is this part called?
The philtrum.
Yes.
Your philtrum.
There are like three body parts. Bill knows that's one of them.
The other two are dirty. That's the only clean body part I know.
Oh, this mouth ain't clean. So I don't know. Like half of me thinks, oh yeah, I remember when he ran me over, but I don't think I did. I think I'm just remembering the stories.
Wouldn't you have some slight
scar? I do have a little scar.
Well, that
scar. I don't
gives
know.
It some credence.
I can't see it anymore. I mean, it healed pretty well, evidently.
Really well.
But that's the story that was told to me. And I remember on that same sidewalk, my dad teaching me how to ride a bike. I remember actually the bike more than him. And
why
I was 10 when he died. I don't know. Because he wasn't in really great health when I was born.
Oh, maybe.
So he didn't do like family vacation stopped. All the fun stopped when Wendy was born, pretty much.
So anything traumatic, or many things that are traumatic,
we block
our brains
out.
Block out.
Yeah.
I can't remember a single episode of Windy City Live.
That was a long way to get there, but well worth it. Did you know when you were two months old?
I'm blocking out this show right now.
Did you know when you were 2 months old that you were going to slam a television show called Windy City Live?
Incessantly?
Every day.
I did.
Either on or off the air. It's every day. Several times.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
You're just making people turn it on to see what it's all about.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Judy Pilak will give us the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill F. as a fetus.
Wendy, it's never too late.
It's never too late, Wendy.
Do you remember the womb?
Yeah.
Here he goes again, talking about
I
when
do.
He was like...
I remember
like,
being in the womb.
Did you say you have a scar there?
I can't see it.
Oh, I have one there. I'm now thinking,
did you get run over by Ronnie?
Never even questioned it. Isn't that weird?
You have a scar in the middle of your face and you've never
right
asked
here.
Any
your
questions
filtrum,
about
Bill,
it?
The filtrum.
It's right by your filtrum.
Yeah, I don't remember it being cleaned out with a Q-tip. Thank you, God. But yeah, I'll have to ask.
Who do
I mean,
you
I know,
ask?
I know my kid's scars.
Stan Lee. Her dad's Stan Lee.
Yes. Yeah, Stan Lee.
Would he remember?
I bet there's some sort of a family cover-up. I bet everybody knows but you, and they don't want you to know.
Weird. I remember a lot of accidents, but not that one.
I can't see my scar, so evidently it healed pretty well, but the legend is that they cleaned
it. Now it's a legend.
I don't even know. I don't remember anything.
But
I remember.
What could they have cleaned it with that would have filled it in? You would have some sort of a divot there, wouldn't you? Replace
your
divot.
Well, no, I got stitches or something,
but there's no sign of it?
I don't know. Maybe just butterfly.
I'll come over and take a good look when I'm
probably from all the years of waxing my mustache.
Oh, maybe.
It probably just all blended
it
in.
Down.
Maybe I'll stop waxing and then it won't show.
Hmm.
And I do remember breaking my collarbone. That I totally remember. But that was somewhere between third and fifth grade. I was wearing palazzo pants and they were awesome. They were red, white, and blue plaid. And the difference between like, bell bottoms.
When you say palazzo, is that elephant bells?
Yes.
Okay.
Because like bell bottoms were like skinny on your legs, but then at the bottom they'd flare out.
Nice.
Elephant bells were just, it looked like you were wearing a long skirt.
Oh. Yeah.
And, my cousin Susie, who was very fashionable, got them for me and I loved them. But I was kind of a tomboy, so I didn't probably have a good shoe on with them. I probably wore my, you know, Chuck Taylors or something. So I'm running, and there was a little rip in the hem. And my toe got caught in the hem, and I was running right by the street, and I fell, and my collarbone hit the curb.
Oh, no.
And
it
I
snapped?
Knew right, I just heard a crack, and I couldn't lift my arm. So my friend Lenny Campick carried my arm home for lunch. It was connected to me, but she was holding it up. I mean, I couldn't let it drop. It hurt so bad. And it was on my birthday.
Oh happy bummer. Birthday.
And then the year before, I had chicken pox on my birthday. And the year before that, I had the measles or something.
Wow.
I had chicken pox with my sister, so I could top you because I had to stay home with her for 2 weeks.
Well, didn't that give you company?
No, we fought like
cats. Over what you were going to watch?
Oh, just,
I want to watch Beverly Hillbillies.
I mean, we had a couch bed in the living room. I remember we opened it. We just lived down there for 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and watched
I'd love TV. To do oh, that nice. Now.
But it was at the end of the school year when our carnival started. I went to a Catholic school. And carnivals were a big deal. Oh, we went all right.
You still did?
We said, we're fine. We hardly have any. On our faces.
June. Oh, they got everybody sick. A big epidemic happened
That's
then.
So good.
Yeah, because we didn't have my kids didn't get, oh, they actually, they did. Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them did, some of them didn't because they had the
MMR.
Vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which does not cause autism.
No.
No.
That's why people don't vaccinate, and that's why mumps is back.
Yeah. I'm all for vaccinations.
Yep.
They are good.
Jenny McCarthy told me to get vaccinated. I should worry about that, right?
She was mad at her for many, many years, and the doctor that told her not to, it turned out,
was
giving false information. So I'm sorry. I feel a little sorry for her, but you do believe your doctors.
Yep.
Right. When you
More
know,
than
when
McCarthy?
1,000 doctors are saying vaccines are good, and one doctor is saying,
yeah, I know,
that,
I know, that's where I get
the,
mad at her.
But you know,
it's a numbers
you can't
game.
Tell parents what to do.
All right, it's news time. It's all brought to you by Palazzo Pants here with the news. Judy Pine.
Thanks for saying
or
it
as
right.
As we say, sure. Elephant bells. Yeah. Yeah,
I was half Italian, so I went with the Palazzo.
Mm-hmm. Sounds a lot better.
Thank you, Jude. You were talking about this plane emergency landing in Philadelphia, was it?
Yes, Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
Based
I
here
love
in Chicago.
Southwest Airlines. I got to tell you, I really do. Daily Mail is reporting the engine exploded while the plane was on its way from New York to Dallas, so it turned back on itself to make an emergency landing in Philadelphia at 11:30 a.m. A piece of shrapnel from the exploding engine pierced a passenger window. There are pictures of the broken window.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of the broken window.
Witnesses, dig this. Witnesses say a female passenger was, quote, partially sucked out of the gaping hole when the engine blew up. They had to pull her back inside until the plane had landed. This is what they're claiming. She was taken to hospital, because this is from the Daily Mail.
Mail's British.
She was taken to hospital, and the extent of her injuries are not yet known. 150 people aboard the Southwest Airlines flight at the time. This female passenger partially sucked out of the window of a Southwest Airlines plane had to be pulled back inside after the aircraft was pierced by the shrapnel.
Well, and we do know there was one injury, so.
That's probably
the
injury.
My God. If
and to land that plane, when you see that engine,
it
kudos to Southwest.
Yep.
To, I mean.
Look at this engine.
Wow.
Bill. There is no doubt about it. That thing blew up.
Yep. Mid-flight,
imagine
and they had to land.
As you're flying, first of all, you feel it.
And the noise.
The noise. You must think, as it's happening,
that's it.
It's over.
Right. Well, there
We're
are some
this.
Pictures were posted to the social media with the, and everyone's got their mask on, and but just the, you could see it in their eyes, the fright. I mean,
yeah.
I don't like to fly. I've gotten better.
I hate flying.
I used to drink a lot, and I would take Xanax.
How about when you flew, Wendy?
I would drink a little more.
Two Xanax.
But then it's so funny because my sister would tell me, that is stupid because if something happens, you don't want to be impaired.
Right.
And my sister was more nervous than I was, where she would literally count how many seats she was away from an exit. So if something happened, she would know to feel. I know they tell you to do all that.
I always watch the, because I just flew. I just got back Sunday.
The presentation?
I always.
Me too.
I know it by heart, but
right.
I don't care. I
watch
I look,
it.
So
I
what
see.
To do in case of
yep.
an emergency.
Yeah. Maybe something. Changed.
Yeah. You know, I want to know where the rubber boat is under my seat.
Yeah.
All that stuff, especially if I'm going over water. And,
where
yeah.
the exits are and
exactly.
how you get there.
Exactly. And how they
Who's
light up.
Who's hold the door
and,
open
right.
for you.
I usually sit around the exit anyway.
Do you?
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
I
want
try
that
to get the exit. Oh, I do.
You'd be great. I would suck.
Absolutely.
I would be on the ground crying, not letting anyone step over
Taking
me.
Another Xanax.
Out of my way.
She's singing Kumbaya.
I am not one to sit in that row. I know it's more leg room, but boy, is that a responsibility.
Yeah.
And I hope to God everyone who does sit in that row will take it seriously.
They have to pay attention during
that
speech.
Because you know they're mostly sitting there because of
leg
the
room.
Right.
Yeah, which is my... It's my impetus, too, for getting that.
Right.
But I would also take that very seriously. Yes.
All right. Well, I'm anxious to find out what caused this explosion of one of the engines. And as I said, I'm not a really good flyer. I got better, actually, when I flew with the kids because I didn't want them to be scared. So I would be
Put
like...
Put on a brave face for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And it
and
really
now
worked.
I would drug them up. always when they were little.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then people would say to me, "Your children are so good." And I was always
they're
like,
catatonic.
"Thank you." And they're catatonic. I mean, they're falling all over the place.
They haven't blinked since we left Chicago. Yeah. Now they're just—they don't like to blink.
Or something.
I tried to do that, but when your kids have ADHD and you have ADHD and you give them Benadryl, it has opposite effect.
Yeah, you might not want to do
that. So Michael was running around with a squirt gun on one plane to Hawaii. We tried really hard.
See, but I didn't understand that. And there was a baby on my flight that was so good. She was just babbling the whole time.
Oh, nice.
And we were going up and down. There was a lot of...
Where your ears were going?
Yes. And I'm thinking, why isn't she screaming?
Did she have a pacifier?
I don't know, maybe. No, because she was making a lot of noise. But she was perfect. Just, you know, the babbling that babies do.
Yeah.
She was under a year old, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was great. Never cried, never screamed.
Oh, nice.
Well, I've gotten better, but I'm just saying, if I got sucked out of a plane, I don't think I could
ever fly
again.
You'd be done, right?
And think about that. She obviously had her seatbelt on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to assume, because once the engine blew and stuff started happening.
Right.
Well, maybe not then. Because I bet it would suck you right out of your seatbelt.
Remember the original airport movie when Van Heflin has a bomb on the plane and he tries to detonate it and then there's a hole and stuff just keeps flying out of it? Yeah. Ugh. How scary.
Yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see if it was birds.
Oh, is that the...
into the engine
because,
a lot.
Yeah, unless if it's not... they're probably hoping it's birds because if that engine blew up for some reason.
They got to do a recall on every engine.
That's really bad. Yeah.
Well,
it's just... This just doesn't happen. Something, obviously...
My friend... Back when I did stand-up, I met my friend John, also a stand-up, and he never drank unless he was flying, in which case he would get to the airport 45 minutes to an hour early, find the bar closest to the gate, drink incredibly too much just so that he could sleep and be intoxicated and sleep through the whole flight. He couldn't fly without that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a drinker normally.
Yeah, I don't take anything. I just grin and bear it.
Yeah.
Frown and bear it, really. Yeah. But yeah, I don't like it.
I'm not. If I got sucked out of a plane, I would never, ever.
No. Every time you even saw a plane.
Get a train for me from then on.
What if you also got sucked out of a train?
Well, then I would have to drive.
Then you go,
a car.
I can't travel anymore. I'm just, everybody has to come to me. I'm not going anywhere.
I don't know what I would do. And even if I was involved in an accident where I was okay, but say there was a crash or something or an emergency landing, I'd be hesitant to fly again.
I know.
But people always say, or not always say, but many people have said, you feel like there's no way this could happen twice. Like you feel like I'm living on borrowed time at this point. I was on a plane that should have crashed and didn't. So my life is gold for the rest of the way. I don't know that I would take that stance.
Yeah.
That's dumb thinking.
Well, and you know what? And of course, you're the numbers guy. More people die on a daily basis in a car, or crossing the street, whatever. I mean, we just don't, there aren't that many.
This is the safest.
It's just that when a plane does go down, it messes with everyone's psyche.
This is the safest period of air travel since September 11th.
I just asked Donald Trump because he took credit for
this. Is it because of Donald Trump?
He did take
credit. Well, thank you, Mr.
Recently.
Trump. Well, you've come to our rescue once again. For whatever reason, I'm not positive it's all on him, but this is the safest it's ever been to fly.
Yeah.
There have been less any kind of accident airwise, because restrictions are such. So let's ride the wave.
I will say I was a little taken aback when I was at the airport. This is so stupid, but this is the stuff I do. I watch. I look at people.
Yeah.
Make sure everyone looks okay.
Write people's names down.
What's
your name?
What's your name?
Andrew.
So there was...
Write that down.
Yeah. I won't say what airline, but... And I love the airline. It was fine. But there... So an employee came up at the gate, and she was there. And then another employee came up, a guy, and she said... I overheard her say, oh, it's my first day. I know. I should do this, this, and this, and... Whatever, because they have people on standby they have to deal with, whatever.
Yeah.
So she's dealing with people. Well, so then up comes, clearly dressed as the pilot, a man. And he walks up, and they're like, hey, hi, and he's talking to them, and they must know him. And then he walks into the plane, into the area.
As pilots will do.
As they will do. And then another guy, young guy, comes up, also dressed like a pilot.
Yeah.
Obviously, the co-pilot.
Yeah.
But they don't know him. And he's like, oh, hey. And he's there a little late because he doesn't really know where to go. He's waiting. And then she looks up, and he's like, oh, hi. And he has an ID. And they chat for a second, and he takes his ID, and he needs to put it somewhere. And she's like, oh, it's okay. no, go ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, yeah. Make him put his ID down
right.
there.
Make it official.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't care
if you think he's the pilot.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's the pilot.
Yeah.
So that kind of worried me a little bit.
The plane land. This is in a statement. Southwest Airlines Flight 1380, which departed LaGuardia for Dallas Love Field. The airline said in a statement, it diverted to Philadelphia because of an operational event. The plane landed safely. No slides were deployed. That would scare me, too.
Right.
If there was some kind of slide that would... Or even if the oxygen
Although
masks,
I have always wanted to go down that slide because it looks like a good slide. Big and it's... Yeah. No, the oxygen masks
they would
were
have
all down.
To
they were
come
all,
down
yeah,
because the cabin
yep,
was pierced.
Absolutely.
Terrified passengers shared videos and photos from on board before the plane landed. One filmed himself as he fitted his oxygen mask. Something is wrong with our plane. It appears we are going down. God, that is a scary, tragic yeah. moment.
Yep.
Emergency landing, Southwest flight from New York City to Dallas, Marty Martinez said as he broadcast live from the plane on Facebook. Wow, that's a good thing to go Facebook Live. Seriously.
Yeah.
Sometimes too much information.
But if it had ended...
Except in this case, it ended well.
It
so,
ended well.
Yeah.
If it had ended awful, think about the families
Hopefully
of these people who
have,
watched
yeah,
it.
They would
want to see
it.
I would want to see my loved one's
no.
last...
Yes,
no,
I would.
I could watch that. Mm-mm.
Because I want to... I just... that.
Do you think they'd be there going, Wendy, Mom, we love you? No, they'd be terrified and screaming and...
No, I'm not going for a message, but it just... When, you know, you lose someone...
You want to see them die?
I don't want to see them die, but I... You know, I don't know how to describe it other than I feel like I owe it to them to be with them as they took their last breath.
I couldn't watch it.
Okay.
I can't even watch Windy City Live.
Jesus, stop it. Bill, text your order, will you, while I tell you about something?
Oh, my goodness.
There is something that Bill might be excited about, and I hope you've...
You know me well enough. You know what excites me.
I know that you're supposed to text an order to someone who's waiting.
Did it a long time ago.
Oh. Then why do they keep telling me? Flip phones are back.
What? I still have my
Do you
pink
have
one.
Yours?
My
yeah,
pink
we're
Motorola.
Backwards.
I thought you wanted
I think
to.
I threw mine away, I think. I think I did.
Flip phones and candy bars are back.
What? Candy bars?
According to the Wall Street Journal.
And so are clouds.
With low prices, great battery life, and some modern conveniences.
Wait, why did they throw candy bars in there?
I love
I don't
that
know.
Flip phone.
The last time you cared about a flip phone was the early aughts. When Donald Trump was a brand new reality TV star and the sleek Motorola Razr. Oh, I loved my Razr.
That's what I have, a pink Razr.
You had a pink one?
Yeah, I still have it. I'm pulling it out.
Yep.
It's my next
phone.
This
would be the time.
It was the coolest gadget on the market. Now it is in a museum, a relic from before we knew the cell phone's true potential. Recently, feature phones, the name given to these flip phones, candy bars, and other devices that came before smartphones. Oh, candy bars, weren't they a type of phone?
Oh, maybe.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, maybe that was where you didn't flip it. It was just there.
Oh, maybe.
Now might be the ripest moment. Yeah, there was like a little keyboard that slid out, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a little square thing.
Yep. All right, this proves how fast technology moves, because 25 years ago, if somebody had that, they were a visitor from the far-off future. But now it's quickly just so obsolete and so old and a dinosaur. Yeah.
And how does the flip phone's coming back already?
I guess.
How old is it?
It can't be that old.
No, it can't.
20-some years.
They just said. I don't know if it's 20.
No, because my youngest is 20. I had that flip phone when he was...
Right. It can't. I don't think it's that old.
Like 15 to 20
years.
Yeah, maybe. Or 10 to 15, I think.
Yeah. Maybe.
There's a picture of this new Nokia 8110 4G. It's by HMD Global. It was introduced in Barcelona in February. It's going to start shipping in May, starting in Europe. And I got to tell you, I love it. It's this like lime green, bright yellow flip phone.
Oh, that's cool.
I would feel honored to have that.
Yeah, the colors are, I guess that's what they're shooting for, right?
Yeah. I guess so, but if you're able to do everything on it, Like, there is a friend of my son Michael's who has a flip phone. So, Michael wanted to send him a picture or something. And he goes, "Oh crap, I got to email it." And I said, "Why?" And he goes, "Because he doesn't get pictures on his phone. Right. It's just an old flip phone."
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Yeah, a newfangled flip phone would be very cool.
Yeah.
Does it say the retail
on it? There's something
it?
I like no. about closing it. I want to.
I agree I with you because like, your screen yeah, doesn't get dirty.
Yeah, it gets dirty and scratched and it's on. You know, you put it on by accident. I just want to close it when I'm done.
So you could hang her up angrily on people.
Yes.
Click. Oh,
good
that was
day, sir.
Fun.
And just slam
and then,
it. Yeah.
I like doing that, but please be honest. When you first got an iPhone, were you taken aback that it was straight? Because we, have, for so many years, have had a phone that kind of curved a little towards our mouth.
Right.
So I felt like I was holding a calculator up to my ear to yeah. talk. I was like, how is it going to get my voice? Because the flip phone kind of right. had that little curve.
More like a phone
yeah.
that we're used to.
Yeah.
Huh. It doesn't say it, in May it ships in Europe.
I want a phone price. That mimics just the handheld phone. Why can't they just do that? That would be so cute. A little one?
What are you talking about?
You know, with the receiver. Like they, a real phone.
They like the actual.
But the old
yeah.
one. Yeah, the
they
old
had
one.
Those. It, I swear to God, it, Bill, you and I have talked about this. It was like you could get one of these handsets from a
yes.
regular phone line, a
them.
Landline, and you it had a USB port or something, so you could plug it into your iPhone. And I could have sworn we talked about it on the air.
I want that to be my iPhone, though. And then I want to have that ring tone.
Would it throw people off if you did? If you had like wherever you went, you just had a princess phone, and you if you got a call, you just pull it out and you talk.
Exactly. Would people How just cool would that like, be?
We would expect it from a Judy Pilot.
Okay, I but don't forget, people were staring at me 20, 30 years. Oh gosh, 30 years ago when I was out in the loop with a phone this big,
yeah.
it was so heavy.
Right.
But I was on the phone.
Ones.
They were like, "What is she doing?" And I'm like, "I am talking on a phone."
Do you ever see the ones from the 50s that are like, there's a mouthpiece that's all black and curvy, and then there's also an earpiece that you hold up
in a wire?
I would love to have that and just have, you know, on the train.
Oh, my God.
What
would that be?
Shh, quiet. It's President McKinley.
You would get beat up.
You have to start every conversation with, B, can you connect to Andy Griffith?
Who are you talking to?
Let me through to Riverdale 68383.
Are you talking to Mr. Drucker?
EV47588. That was my That was my phone number growing up in Chicago.
Yeah, everybody EV4. Had a word of letters.
Hunter 5.
Evergreen. Yeah. It was evergreen.
Yeah.
Was my word.
Hudson 32700. Mm. I still want that to be my phone number.
Should I get it?
I wonder if somebody has it. I would love
maybe
to have
not.
That be my phone
you
number.
Should you should. Yeah, maybe I can get my old phone number back.
Okay, time to take a break.
Jude, thanks for hanging out. We will take a break, and then we'll come up and we'll close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's getting to be that time where we have to shuffle off to Buffalo.
We were just getting rolling. This is insane. I'm doing an extra 5 seconds. I don't care.
Good to know.
I will not be silenced.
I'll stay with you.
Will you stay for the extra five?
Yes, I will.
Jasmine, are we clear? Can we do 5 more seconds on the house?
Five
gratis?
Seconds,
all right.
We just wasted it. It was dead air.
There was too much to discuss. I didn't know where to go.
Should we save it for tomorrow?
Yeah. There's going to be a show tomorrow. There's going to be a show Thursday. Friday, Wendy, there's going to be a real live exorcist on with us.
What?
We're having an exorcist on the show on Friday.
We are?
Yeah. Yeah. To get rid of our demons.
I'm a little nervous about this. My kid's getting confirmed on Saturday. I can't have this go wrong.
Bring him in. The exorcist will work with him.
I didn't clear this.
Does his head ever spin around 360 degrees?
It only did once.
You're clear. You're fine. Once in a while, your kid's head is going to spin around 360 degrees. If it happens often...
So once
give
is normal?
Give him an Advil. Yeah.
An Advil.
It'll be fine.
A liquid gel?
Yeah, give him a liquid gel. Don't overdo it. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow is Wednesday.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, it is how it works. That's exactly how it works. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.